They're called the Greatest Generation, men and women from all walks of life who grew up in the Great Depression, led our nation to victory in World War II, and helped make America a beacon of freedom and democracy for all the world. And do they have some stories to tell? I'm pleased to be partnering with the New York State Military Museum and Veterans Research Center to preserve the words and memories of many of our World War II veterans. These stories will be entered into the state's archives, where they will be accessible to researchers, academics, and future generations. Our veterans have given so much to help build a brighter future for all Americans. This tribute is just one small way of saying thank you.
I had finished training right here at Mercy, and I was working for Dr. Simpson up at the TB SAN, and my two brothers were already in the Army. One was Air Corps and the other was artillery, and they wanted nurses so bad, so I enlisted. My friend and I both enlisted right here at Pine Camp, it used to be then.
Now, was that decision made, you wanted to enlist and be a nurse and your friend wanted to, or did you guys talk to each other about that?
No, it was me, because if my two brothers got hurt, I'd want somebody to take care of them. So I talked my friend into it. And she went with me.
Now talk a little bit about your experience, if you could. Being a nurse. Now, when I got here, you were telling me that you were a nurse during the Battle of the Bulge.
Okay. When I enlisted, we had to go to Atlantic City, New Jersey, for basic. There's pictures over there about that. We went through basic, and then I was assigned to Governor's Island, right off the shore of New York City. I took care of lots of Army people that came from either the California or the other, from the East. Mm-hmm. We were there, a few months, and then we got orders to go overseas. Mm-hmm. And it was in a convoy.
Now, when you got those orders, was it a little bit frightening? Was it exciting? I mean, describe what the feeling was. So you weren't nervous at all about going overseas?
No.
You just thought it was another day at the office,
so
to speak.
I'm just going to do nursing. And it didn't matter to me where.
But then you get over there, and the Battle of the Bulge starts, right?
No. We went to England first.
Okay.
Liverpool. And they put us in a place called Oulton Park, and there were just huts with potbelly stoves in them that would go out at night and you'd freeze. Mm-hmm. We were there till we got orders to go to replace the 99th General, which was in Reims, France, and we went on the ship, and there was lots of engineers, all kinds of Army people on the same ship. And we got to cross the channel, and when we got to Le Havre, where we were supposed to dock, we couldn't because the Germans had bombed so many ships that we couldn't dock at all. So then we had to go to Cherbourg, which was another city, try there, same thing. So then they ordered an LSD, and we went out in the channel, and at midnight, we were told to get our full gear on, our regular helmets, everything. And you could hardly walk, you had your mess kit, your first aid kit, everything with you. Mm-hmm. We stayed online absolutely in the dark at midnight until this man handed me a rope ladder, and he said, "You're going over the side of the ship, You hand it to the guy below so he can get it back to me again.
Oh, wow.
I was shocked.
I imagine, yeah.
I guess the best thing was that we couldn't see the water. And down we went, all of us nurses, the whole hospital.
Wow.
On this LSD.
Pitch black, midnight. Wow.
You couldn't, you know, because of the planes coming, you couldn't have a light.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got to Le Havre, where we were supposed to dock, we couldn't because of the sunken ships.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went to another city. I'm trying to think of the name of that one. And we couldn't dock there either. So that's when they ordered the LSD, and we had to go over the side of the ship. But we finally landed on this little beach called Etretat. And from there, we waited. We were put in these chateaus. No heat, no water. The one I was assigned to anyway, not all of them. There was one that had everything, and that's where the mess was.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there until, you know, we had to leave. Like I said, we had to go over the side of the ship and mm-hmm. got to Etretat. And then we waited for a train to take us to Reims.
How long did you have to wait for the train?
A couple of days. And the night we got there was my birthday. That's why I remember the date, December 18th,
mm-hmm.
a week before Christmas. And I got online to take a bath the first, because when you're on the ship, you only get salt water. And so I just got in the tub, and the air raid went off.
Oh.
And my friend, who was outside, asked one of the 99 general nurses, is this what you get every night? And she said, no, we've never had one before.
Oh, happy birthday, huh?
Yeah.
So
anyway, I had to get out of the tub, get dressed, and that's when we learned, you know, what it was like.
Mm-hmm. So what happened after that, once the raid had gone?
I was assigned to a regular ward.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doubly staffed because the 99 general couldn't get out. And they started coming every night. Used to call him Bed Check Charlie. And they never bombed us, but they did strafe the whole hospital all the time. You could hear the bullets bouncing off the brick.
Mm-hmm. Was that nerve-wracking at all for you?
No, I had a whole ward to watch and to take care of.
So you weren't even concerned that you were getting shot at? The building was
no.
getting shot at? Wow.
You were too busy. I was on night duty.
Mm-hmm.
So every night they would come, just about.
Wow. Now, is there one memory or one story that sticks out in your mind more so than any other one during your time as a nurse?
Yeah, I was on the shock ward. It was just before I left, and a 26-year-old captain came in as a patient. He was taking a load of prisoners to a work detail,
mm-hmm.
and the guards, one of them didn't put a safety on,
mm-hmm.
and they went over a rut, and the gun discharged, and guess who it hit? The captain. As he was reaching for a cigarette, it went through his hand and into his arm. And he bled to death. When we got him, it was too late. The doctor jumped on the bed and gave him CPR, and we couldn't revive him.
Wow. My gosh, wow. Any regrets? Would you do it over again if you could?
Yeah, I had two brothers that were in. I wanted somebody to take care of them.
Now, were you the big sister?
No, I was the youngest.
So you just wanted to make sure that your brothers were okay?